This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Mexico. I have good news about Mexico. Tesla is going to Mexico. Elon Musk and the whole circus to build electric vehicles of all kinds into the future, we're told. Now, this last week was not happening. This week it's happening. In between, Mary Anastasia O'Grady published her America's column. She's the America's editor and columnist for the Wall Street Journal editorial board, recommending that Tesla was good for Mexico, but where? The announcement is Nuevo León, a state in the north. But there's more to this. Mary, a very good evening to you. AMLO responded to what I'd say was a pragmatic calculation of making money and also providing high-tech jobs to his citizens. At the same time, there was hesitation. Can you explain these two AMLOs? Good evening to you, Mary.
Well, good evening, John. I think the best way to understand Lopez Obrador's approach to foreign direct investment in Mexico is that he wants to be in charge of whether it is approved or not approved. He wants to be the last word. And in that sense, you know, he operates very much like an old-fashioned Mexican caudillo. So when Tesla announced that it would like to go to Mexico and make rather sizable investments on the outskirts of Monterrey in Nuevo León, which is a very modern, for Mexican standards, a very modern city, AMLO grabbed the microphone and said, you know, I'm going to be the one who's going to decide that. And they have a water shortage problem there. Therefore, they can't go there. They'll have to go to some other place in Mexico. And I have two suggestions for them. And so they'll have to live with that. And that was a point that I brought up in my column, because it seems like a very short-sighted way to think about development, growth, and basically improving Mexican living standards. He was sort of trying to flex his muscles. And my column, of course, went up on Sunday night. And on Tuesday, he announced that, no, never mind, I'm going to let Tesla go to the outskirts of Monterrey and make their investment.
Well, this is very good news for Tesla, very good news for Mexico. I see that the talk is of a gigafactory to produce sport utility vehicle, to produce Model Y, which is the high-end SUV, all wonderful. However, it points to what you identify in your column as a caudillo. What is that, Mary? What is a caudillo?
Well, that's an old-fashioned term used a lot in Latin America. I think the best translation maybe for in English would be like a strong man, you know, the guy who the decision starts and ends with him. And AMLO very much has that spirit in him. And he was raised in the Institutional Revolutionary Party, which you hear people talk about as the PRI. And the PRI was a one-party state in Mexico for nearly 70 years. And that's how he came up in politics. And it's still how he thinks about politics and how he thinks about his role as the president of the country. You know, decisions start and end with me. And one of my main points in this piece was that when a president operates like that, what you end up getting is a very arbitrary rule of law. It's, you know, no one really knows what the rules are. There's a lot of uncertainty and so forth. And I think that's the environment that he's created in Mexico over these 4 years that he's been president.
In your column, you point to Antonio Del Valle, who's president of the Mexican Business Council, who said within weeks that Mexico could attract twice the current rate of capital investment if it had the right policies. What are the right policies, Mary?
Yeah, well, actually, let me just also tell you before I get to that, that a lot of people are saying that Mexico is attracting a lot of capital because it's a nearshoring destination. I mean, here it is right on the edge of the largest economic market in the world, and or the wealthiest anyway. And, you know, it has access, free trade access and so forth, it should be attracting a lot of capital. You know, it's not on the bottom ring of development, So but it should be a destination for high tech value added manufacturing. And the numbers are just not bearing that out. 2022, they boast about it being $35 billion. But in fact, if you take out the Aeroméxico deal, which was not a manufacturing deal, and the Univision Televisa deal, you know, you have foreign direct investments that's just a little bit above what it was in 2020 in the midst of the pandemic. So they're not attracting capital. And Tono Del Valle made the point that they should be at something like $70 billion as opposed to $35 billion. And he said that the reason they are not, or the what they have to do in order to get to that number, is improve their energy policies, which are terrible, improve their infrastructure, which is not very good, and do something about this rule of law problem that I was describing, so that investors, when going there, have certainty about, you know, what they're putting into the country, that it's going to be safe and there will be a law that will guide, you know, how they're treated.
You mentioned that the Biden administration has an opportunity now to go to an arbitration panel to hear a case about the USMCA, some aspect of it not being followed through. What hesitates? Why does the Biden administration hesitate? Mexico needs help, and it needs perhaps help from the outside, an arbitration panel.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And actually, why the U.S. is hesitating is a matter of speculation. But I do think that as a member of the USMCA, which, of course, is the updated North American Free Trade Agreement, what Mexicans can benefit from that agreement by the incorporation of the country in an agreement where there is a law, where you know, the rule of law has to be obeyed. And, you know, if the Biden administration doesn't enforce the rule of law for Mexico, then the Mexicans themselves are the ones who are harmed, because they're not benefiting from the rule of law that comes with the agreement. So it may cause friction with President Lopez Obrador, but I think in the long run, it would be a favor that the U.S. is doing for Mexico in forcing it to go with the rule of law as opposed to an arbitrary rule of AMLO.
This is about the Energy Department, both oil and electricity, which you've written about it at length. I just want to say that energy, you mentioned, is one of the places where policies could improve for the business environment. What other policies, Mary? You mentioned infrastructure. There was talk about the South, or the South of the country, from AMLO. What does the South need that the North has?
Well, in the comment about what Mexico needs to attract more capital, there was a reference to infrastructure, and that would be in a variety of different areas. But I'll just name one, which was that the Mexican government was building a very modern airport where, in a place called Texcoco, which is just outside of Mexico City. And it was about 40% finished when AMLO was elected, and he announced that he thought it was too extravagant. So he canceled the contracts. He did compensate the investors, so people were made whole. But the project was lost. And now there's this dinky airport that's further outside of the city and not by any stretch of the imagination close to, you know, what had been envisioned with the new international airport. And that's just an example of, you know, going backwards, because he's just decided that he thinks it's, as I said, too extravagant. And I think, you know, Mexico is not the Mexico of the 1970s, which is where he seems to think that he should be. Mexico needs to think more forward about its integration with North America. And in that integration, whether it's in energy or in infrastructure or the rule of law, trying to be consistent with the U.S. and Canada. And he's not making any effort in that direction.
Mary Anastasia O'Grady. She is the America's columnist and editor at the Wall Street Journal editorial board, writing about, there is good news, Tesla to Mexico. There's other news that suggests that this is an exception, not a rule. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.